What do we know about this? Answer this question. Answer that question. And at any time, if that young man was making a mistake, the presbytery would reassemble and they would decide whether they were going to continue on or not. One of the last ordinations I went to, it was only a table of about three or four men, and that man made three major mistakes. One of them being that does Satan have any of the attributes of God? And that man said yes. Right then and there, the presbytery should have said, "Wait, we need to reassemble together. We need to ask this man a little bit something more in private session because we can't go on." When you are in such a hurting status that you want to ordain a man that isn't even founded in the truth, you're allowing error to creep in. Now, understand this. The book of Acts is exciting. And there was many people that made false professions of faith. And matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but a lot of times people say, "Well, we need to make deadly sure that these people really understand, you know, why they're being baptized." You take a newborn babe in Christ and compare them to a newborn babe that has come upon this earth. You look at that brand new baby, cute little baby, and that sweet, you just cuddle that little baby, and you hold him, you rock the little baby, and you say, "Do you know all about your birth? Do you know how you were born? Do you really recognize your mommy? Do you really know who your daddy is?" That baby can't answer any questions because that baby has a rudimentary knowledge he's alive. How do we know that that baby has rudimentary knowledge? It's because the baby sleeps, fills his diaper, and eats. That's as much as that baby knows. As a baby grows older and older, he learns a lot more. My granddaughter and Joe took my youngest granddaughter, him and Emily, down to Disney World. They're down there now. And Joe asked her, he said, "So, Rachel, who did you see yesterday?" "Mickey!" I guarantee you, that little girl, she understands all about Mickey Mouse. She may never remember a day about this visit, but she'll remember Mickey Mouse. And in this sad, people a lot of times think, well, as long as we present at one time, it should be enough. Now, I want to ask you this. Does practice make perfect? Now, think about it before you answer. Practice makes permanence. Perfect practice makes perfect. And you know what we need to do as a church is we need to put in place perfect practices. Over and again, teaching on the church, teaching on salvation. And you know what's sad? We get to a place where we're not excited about our salvation anymore. There's one of my favorite Adventures in Odyssey programs called the Imagination Station, in which a young man, for the first time in his life, a little boy, if you will, gets to see Jesus as he really is. Not just a story, but someone who's real. And the fact of the matter is, what has happened in our churches is we think it doesn't really matter. Why aren't our churches filled? Because what matters to people is entertainment. What matters to people is tickling of the ear. But what is it that the people really need? They need the message of Christ. If you die today, where will you find yourself? Well, what do you mean, where will I find myself? What's going to happen to you? I guarantee you there's many church members that they say, "Well, I just probably go back to the dirt." Do you believe in creation? Well, sort of. I believe it could be evolution that led up to it. Wait a minute. You don't believe in the power of God? You see, folks, we fail to teach. And do you realize that a baby, the moment that baby is born, that baby wants to learn? And they said that you will teach more to a child in the first 5 years of its life than you will the rest of its life. And the next adventure goes from 6 to 12. The Catholics said, you give me a child until they're the age of 12 and they will be Catholic for life. And that's true. We take a standard that, well, we're just going to meet on Sundays and that should be enough. No, wait a minute. My reality is, let's tell them every opportunity we have around the dinner table, with the Word of God before they go to bed at night. Because remember, we're going to send them to public school, and what are they learning in public school? Millions and billions of years ago, where we have the truth in our hands, and we ought to be teaching them, this is the way of God. This is the way of God. And we shouldn't be apologetic for it. All right, so with that in mind, what happened on the day of Pentecost? On the day of Pentecost, one of the things that happened was the giving of the Holy Ghost was for an empowerment upon the congregation of the children of, you know, these children that are part of the local New Testament church. And so you had these wonderful men that heard the message. They had waited upon the Lord as He had promised the Holy Spirit would come. And now they exit from the upper room, and they're excited, and there's a noise that's coming out of them. You know, here's the thing. We ought to be excited when we go out in the doors, not for the, you know, how quickly we can leave here, but excited to say, man, I can't wait to tell someone about Jesus Christ. That's excitement. That's excitement. And they begin to noise abroad. The third verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together. To you. Can you name one Baptist church where everybody's all together in one accord? And, never mind. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Again, the Lord referred to the Holy Spirit as the wind in John chapter 3. And it filled all the house. And there appeared unto them it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power to speak was given by the Holy Spirit. You know, let's put it this way. The preaching of the Word ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit such that there's an empowerment. I don't care if there's 50 people in the congregation, 150, or 1,000 in the congregation. The unleashing of the Word of God ought to be enjoyable. It ought to be exciting. It ought to be zealous. It was here, wasn't it? Amongst 12 individuals. And they were excited to hear the Word of God. Look what else it says. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation and heaven, under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. By the way, if you go count the number of languages, there were 14. And these men, only 12, were speaking in their language, were speaking in different tongues. Was the miracle that the Lord was opening up the hearing, or was it because the men were speaking? I don't know. All I do know is this, they were willing to preach the Word of God. That is the evidence of the Holy Spirit with. I guarantee you, when you go door knocking, the first house you come to, hi. I'm Pastor Mike Prater, and I'm here from Grace Missionary Baptist Church, and I just want to tell you about our church. And the door gets slammed in your face, and you go to the next door, and it seems like it just moves that way. But then you get a house that they go, you know, we just moved to the area, and we're really excited to find out that there's someone who wants to tell us about the church that's local. And then you begin to tell them about Jesus Christ. And then you go to the next door, and there's a little bit more boldness. And you go to the next door, and there's a little bit more boldness. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. If we go in the zeal of the Lord can open every door, and He will direct you where the door will be open on your behalf. Don't think that the apostles, especially Paul, every door that he knocked on or every door that he witnessed to, that they accepted him. Remember, he was beaten with stripes. Remember, he was stoned. Remember, he was left for dead. And yet he preached the Word of God no matter where he went. And not only that, there was a value that occurred with all of this. Once the message was received and they begin to hear, go down to verse 41 and we'll finish up here today. Then it says, then they that gladly received this word were baptized. There it is. Go, baptize. Go, baptize. What is the reason that we baptize? Then they that gladly received his word. You see, folks, we don't go in and put them into a dark room with a light upon them. And what's funny is that it doesn't matter if I'm standing up front and I invite anyone who wants to know more about Jesus to come and speak with me. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. And I've had many opportunities that occur. But understand, it's not how craftily I can try to swindle them into believing that Jesus Christ is their Savior. What makes it valuable is that I present the Word of God, I tell them about Jesus Christ, I don't lead them into a sinner's prayer, that a newborn babe will cry out, I believe. Now people say, well, what's so wrong about the sinner's prayer? Many times people say, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, pray this right now. That's not the way it's done. The way it's done is you preach the Word of God, they will believe, and they can't wait. I had a young person one time tell me, they said, well, shouldn't I pray or something? I said, do you want to pray? Well, yeah. Why? I want to tell him how much I'm thankful for what he did for me. I said, then pray it. I don't have to lead them into some model sinner's prayer. They know that. The Ethiopian eunuch, he stopped the chariot. After Philip had run up to him and says, understandest what thou readest? How can I let somebody direct me, some man show me? And then when they come to that body of water, it wasn't Philip that stopped the chariot, it was the eunuch that stopped the chariot. Why? Because he wanted to be baptized, now believe. Man, that must have been some sermon, don't you think? Don't you think? Once again, notice what it says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly with the apostles' doctrine. That's the beauty, isn't it? Then they started teaching them. I guarantee you they didn't start with great big $19 words to instruct them. They took the simplistic Word of God and they instructed them. Do you know about salvation? Well, let me tell you how beautiful salvation really is. Before there was the book of Romans, we had the advantage. By the way, do you know that? We have the advantage because we got the entire Word of God. They only had portions. But they had lived with Jesus. I'll conclude with this. Do you know what the greatest ability to tell others about Jesus Christ is? Your testimony. Tell them how you were saved. Tell them about the fear you had before you were saved. Tell them about what Jesus did for you. And I guarantee you, when you make it personal, they want to know more. Did not Paul, in the book of Acts, tell about his own salvation experience at least thrice in recording? How beautiful is that? All right, we're going to be dismissed from our Sunday school hour. We'll get ready to go into a morning worship. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for your goodness. Now go with us as we dismiss from this place and be prepared for our morning service. In Jesus' name, amen.